Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and FY22 earnings conference call of Dharmasi Morarji Chemical Company Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Mehra from TIL Advisors. Thank you and over to you, Mr. Mehra.
Thank you. Welcome everyone and thank you for joining this Q4 FY22 earnings conference call of the Dharmasi Morarji Chemicals Company Limited. The results and investor updates have been emailed to you and are also available on the stock exchanges. In case anyone does not have a copy of the same, please do write to us and we'll be happy to send it over to you. To take us through the results of this quarter and answer your questions, we have today with us Mr. Bimal Gokuldas, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Dilip Gokhale, Executive Director, Mr. Chirag Shah, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Omkar Mahamankar, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer. We'll be starting the call with a brief overview of the financial performance, which will be followed by the Q&A session. I want to remind you all that everything said in this call, reflecting any outlook for the future, which can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with the uncertainties and the risks that the company faces. These uncertainties and risks are included but not limited to what we mentioned in our annual report, which you'll find on our website. With that said, I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Gokuldas. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Abhishek, for the introduction as well as organizing the call. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for taking the time to attend our call. I'm Bimal Gokuldas and I will give you a brief overview of the operations and then I will be open for questions that you may have. So in this last quarter, we did a little over 100 crores of revenue and EBITDA was 13.68 crores. As you can imagine, and as is seen in most sectors, the top line growth is largely due to the price increase. And also there is a moderate volume increase from our side. You may be aware that we have commissioned the Dahej sulfuric acid plant and we've been on partial operation there. The specialty chemicals and the downstream products are still not commissioned. They are likely to happen soon. A lot of the business in Dahej is still commodity business. In terms of interest cost, there's an increase largely due to increase in borrowings, both for working capital as well as for the capital expenditure. And there's the profit before tax is very similar to that of the previous quarter, about 9.2 crores. You'll see a big dip in the profit after tax. Because we have provided for a deferred tax liability on account of the differential depreciation on income tax and depreciation on according to the books. So that's the reason we have a lower, the main reason we have a lower profit after tax. In terms of the projects, we also have a couple of updates for you. We've got two plants still to be commissioned at Dahej. We expect that to happen in this quarter. And we expect that the next quarter will reflect the true performance of the company after this investment cycle is complete. So with that, I'd like to open the floor to any questions that you may have.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Pratik Chaudhary from Samarthya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. So, sir, as far as whatever I understand, our strategy historically has been that we target, you know, niche products where the global market size is close to 100 crores and there's limited competition, and we try and gain a dominant market share in those product lines globally. So this has worked well for us when we were, say, you know, at a lower base of revenues. Now with the new CapEx coming on stream, are you confident that this strategy will work at higher revenue base as well? Or are you also looking at introducing some other products with a larger market opportunity?
So thanks for the question. Yes, that has been our approach so far. And at the moment, we are continuing with the same. We believe that there is, we haven't exhausted or haven't come close to exhausting the business as per our existing model. So at this time, there are no plans to change it. There's enough headroom available.
Okay. And now that we are almost done with our ongoing CapEx, and you know, I'm sure our energies would be to ramp up the capacity quickly and efficiently. But are there some further expansions on the drawing board as well? Or are we looking to go ahead with the sulfones, CapEx, or any other product, you know?
So we will come back. We have some product ideas in mind. We haven't finalized yet. And we'll come back to the investors at the appropriate time. But certainly our current objective is to digest the current investments. We've made significant investment over the past couple of years. And, you know, optimize the capacity and, you know, generate good cash flow before we do anything large again.
And as this as the new CapEx starts to generate operating cash flows for us, would our target be first to reduce debt or to, you know, incrementally invest in other areas? What would be our way forward be with the new operating cash flows incrementally?
So it will be a combination. Certainly we want to bring down the debt. We want to manage the cash flows. And then we look at, there are some investments which we would like to make in terms of energy recovery and things like that, which we'll go ahead with. But there will be no major CapEx at this time.
Okay. Okay. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Parth Agrawal, from who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. And my first question was on the boron side. So after almost 2 years, you have finally seen some positive commentary on the boron business.
I can't hear you properly.
Mr. Parth Agrawal, I would request you to kindly go off the speakerphone. Your voice is not clear on the line.
Is it clear now?
It's much better. Request you to kindly speak much closer to the mic.
Okay. So my question was on the boron side of the business. So recently your commentary has been positive, and my understanding was that the last 2 years raw material availability was a major challenge due to some macroeconomic factors. So has it changed in the last quarter? So what has changed in the last quarter, and do you foresee to ramp up boron business FY23?
Yes, the answer to both the questions is yes, that there has been an improvement in supply. And based on that, we will be, we expect to have better boron business in the coming quarters. And just to add to that, that this is one of the areas where we may do some debottlenecking as well for our own plants.
Okay, okay. And secondly, on the, you mentioned in the investor presentation that number of products have gone up from 38 to 34, that was mentioned previously. So can you please talk about these new products that you have introduced, whether they are on the bulk chemical side or on the specialty side? and market opportunity, competitive dynamics about those products?
So they are on the specialty side, and the new products are basically market introductions. So all of them have a potential of between 50 to 100 crores, but certainly it will take some time for approvals and things like that.
Okay. But by how do you expect them to ramp up or even realize their full potential?
So I can't predict that at this time, but certainly we'll do our best efforts to commercialize and to ramp up as soon as possible.
Okay, and just one last question from my side. So in terms of, it's more about the margin front. So do you see EBITDA margin normalizing going forward from here?
So on this, if you look at the absolute margin, we have been able to maintain them in spite of the increased cost. So whatever the cost increase, we have passed on, or we have been able to pass on to the customers. Now, even though, as you may have seen from our earlier con calls, I have stated that our specialty chemical business, particularly overseas, is based on rolling contracts, which could be quarterly or half yearly. So while we are facing the cost increases now, we would be able to pass them on only later on. And that also has an impact on quarterly percentage margins. Also, as the price of many of the commodities, all the commodities I would say has gone up, our raw materials, it appears that the percentage margin has come down, although the absolute margin has not come down. So I would request that you focus on the absolute number rather than a percentage number, because in an inflationary environment, looking at the percentage would be slightly misleading.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Navid Virani from Bastion. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. A couple of bookkeeping questions from my end. So, firstly, as I see that we have a cash outflow of 98 crores in the cash flow investing activity towards your plant and equipment in financial year 22, while in the balance sheet item, there is a 65 crores of capital work in progress. So can you please give me some clarity on final capex outgo for the ongoing expansion? Have you also undertaken some expansion on other cost overruns? Can you please help me understand this better?
Sure. There have been certainly the numbers which we presented for the capital expenditure were, at least a couple of years old. So there certainly has been escalations on that, depending on the project, there would be maybe 25% or 30% because of cost of cement, steel, delays during COVID, all that. Also, all the electronic components have gone up. In addition, we have also some other projects which are not major projects, but things like things which we have to do. We are upgrading our fire hydrant system at Roha. We have a new fire hydrant system at Dahej. We also have expanded our effluent treatment facilities. We've made investments for other things on safety related and environmental things. So there's also, those kind of projects which may not be covered initially in the presentation that we make. So what you're seeing is a capital work in progress number, which would include some of the existing projects which are going to be commissioned shortly, as well as some of the other projects we have undertaken.
Thank you. This is helpful. My second question is on the working capital side. So strangely, we say that working capital cycle has turned negative for this year, which is actually a very good thing. But I find it hard to understand that at one side of the prices of raw material have shot up. As a result, the inventory and debtors would have increased. But I think that increase in trade payables is more for our company. Can you please just give some perspective here as well?
So surely we are taking some credits from our suppliers. That's an important part of our cash flow management at the moment. And I'm happy to say that we have received good support from the suppliers as well. On the debtor side, we are able to control because the market as such has been good. Although the cost increases have put a lot of pressure, but there is good demand for our products. So we've been able to maintain the debtors. And therefore, in spite of so much increase in the raw material prices, in the finished product prices, we've been able to manage the cash flow.
Perfect, sir. So finally, what will be the peak debt long-term plus working capital in this current year?
Peak debt will go up somewhat, although we don't, a part of the CWIP will be funding internally, but we expect around 100 crores will be the peak debt. And working capital, difficult to say because, again, it depends on the movement of raw materials. If you looked at our numbers a few years ago, we had almost zero working capital. But with the increase in the prices and also the increase in our output, we have the new plant at Dahej. So our requirement of raw materials has gone up. Therefore, we have an increase in the working capital requirement. So I can't comment on that because I can't exactly predict the raw material prices.
So do we follow up on side, can we assume that the working capital cycle which is there right now will be maintained over a, 2 to 3 year horizon, or it will be?
We hope so, but again, I can't project that far ahead.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Understood. Thank you, sir.
So the sales are going up, And as the sales go up, the output from Dahej will increase, our requirement of working capital will increase. But how the prices will play out and all that is anybody's guess.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much.
Sure.
This is helpful.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Jeevan Patwa from Shastra Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Jeevan. One question. So, as someone has asked, actually, I can see your cash flow statement. There has been 98 crore cash flow investment cash flow this year. Last year, actually, we did somewhere around 47 crores. So, all in all, it's 145 crore plus there is a CWIP of 60 crores. So, it's almost 210 crores. And we have actually done a calculation for 110 crore capex. So, there has been increase of over 100 crores. So as you said, inflationary requires so 20-30% increase in project. But apart from that, also there seems to be like quite a bit, so almost 50-60 crore extra capex.
So this is also other projects, and it is also some of the projects which would have been work in progress in the previous year. And there are many things we are doing: upgrading the laboratories, upgrading the infrastructure, and we are at Roha. We have put in a zero liquid discharge system. So all this is also part of our capex.
Okay, but is there anything which is going to contribute to the revenue as such out of
this? Surely.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Sure.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Puneet Mittal from Global Core Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Just a couple of questions. One is, when you say you have long-term contracts with your customers, how long are these long-term contracts? And second, given the dynamic changes in the prices of raw materials, would you be able to change these contracts for the price rollover of a monthly basis instead of quarterly or a half-yearly basis?
So, our contracts, particularly for the specialty chemicals business, are ongoing. It's not that you know, for the products we are in, there are few suppliers, there are few customers, so we need each other. And, you know, reliability of supply and things like that are as important now as the actual price. So we've proven ourselves to be reliable, you know, in spite of the, all the lockdown and in spite of all the logistics challenges, we have been able to largely meet our customer requirements, you know. We have missed out on some shipments, but in general, we have satisfied customer requirements because we held stock either directly or through our distributors, things like that. In any case, the contracts are almost perpetual. So long as the customers need the product and we make the product, there will be formula-based pricing. And it's a very transparent formula which links the product prices to standard norms of ratios as well as links to published prices based on internationally recognized journals. So right now it's quarterly, right? You know, or 6 monthly. I don't see the sense of making it monthly because that would just add administration issues without any benefit as such. You know, since both customers and suppliers are thinking long term, any increase or decrease in raw materials will average out.
Okay. And these customers would usually have one or two suppliers for these products, the specialty products that you're selling them?
More than one for sure. Nobody would 100% depend on us. They would surely have an alternate supply.
But do you have any sense of how much of their requirement are you supplying on average?
Varies from customer to customer, but we are a significant supplier for our products.
Okay. Now the next question on the bulk chemicals, commodity chemicals that you have, the sulfuric acid. Naturally, the raw material prices have increased and the prices of the end product has not increased as much. So there's a delta and that's why naturally the margins have come down, both gross and EBITDA. Can you explain why this difference? Is it because there is an excess supply of sulfuric acid or how does the price dynamic work in the market?
No, I didn't say that we didn't pass on the price. If you look at the delta between our raw materials and finished product pricing, you will find that we have passed on the prices. But in terms of the bulk chemicals, we don't have much control. You know, the very fact that they are commodities means the price is not in our control. It's market linked. It depends on you know, supply and demand entirely. There are no contracts in place as such, and you know, price could change weekly, monthly, anything. So there's little or no control we have. But we react to and we anticipate market situations, and again we get some kind of a premium because of our reliability and sustainability.
Yeah, I understand that. I was just trying to understand that naturally you're right that because it's commodity chemicals, it's driven by the market. But since the underlying raw material prices have increased and naturally the commodity chemical prices not increased to the same extent, and that's why there's a difference.
No,
so
they
the question
also
is,
increased. They have also increased.
Okay. Okay. And also another question related to, you are naturally backward integrated for your specialty chemical, and that gives you cost benefit apart from other benefits. Do you know how much of a cost benefit do you get because of the backward integration?
Tough to answer that question because it would change product to product and it will change time to time. So, for example, somebody who is not backward integrated would need to buy some of the, for example, sulfonating agents. But what is the price of that just now and what is the price of that at a different point in time would define what benefit we are getting. It's also not just that, it's also the safety issue, also the supply chain issue. There's no absolute answer to your question.
Okay.
There is an advantage to having the raw materials on site for sure. Now, how much would you quantify that? And also, whatever margin we would be making, plus the logistics advantage, which would be a disadvantage for somebody who is buying the same thing. But difficult to quantify that.
Okay. Finally, I think in your previous calls, you had mentioned that you do not intend to increase any capex on bulk chemicals going forward. So as you increase your specialty chemicals and products, how much do you think you still have enough capacity to be able to be fully backward integrated, or you will need to start buying materials from external sources?
So, no, we've planned that at least for the next several years, we will have enough of our own raw materials, commodities, that we won't need to procure anything.
Okay. Thank you. And my final question is, can you give a little bit more color on the intermediates project that you're putting up, which goes live soon? What kind of products that you are planning to manufacture there, and whether you will be, are these import substitutions, and whether you'll be the competition, etc., in these products?
So I can't disclose the product, but what I can say, it is a single product, not a range of products, and it is going, a bulk of it will go to one customer, but not all of it. I would say about 50% will go to a single customer, and the rest of it would be to multiple customers. There are several end uses, so that one customer has one end use, but there are other end uses for other customers.
And this single customer has a long-term contract with you for this product?
Yes.
Understood. Thank you so much for answering all the questions.
Sure.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Aman V from Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Bimal sir. My first set of questions is on the specialty chemical side. If you can talk about what was the volume growth for the specialty segment in FY20.
So, while we don't disclose individual numbers, I can say that there was at least a 10% growth in the specialty chemicals. It could have been better had we had better logistics, you know, particularly for the overseas market. But unfortunately, the situation even now on shipping and all continues to be difficult.
Sure. And this 10% kind of growth, did it come from our the top three molecules or the newer products?
So both, but mostly from the top three.
Sure, sir. And we will be coming up with the new plant this quarter. So by Q2, do you expect the full utilization, or do you think it will take maybe 1-2 more quarters?
So, you know, while we have market visibility, you know, when I'm being practical in saying that, you know, when there's new plant commissioning and all, there can always be some issues. But we'll see some impact in Q2, and we'll see a good impact in Q2. And surely after that, we expect to ramp up.
And on the sulfuric acid plant, sir, is it running at full utilization now? Because I think we need to run at full utilization, right?
Which plant?
The new plant.
No, not it's not at full. It will be at full only after our this investment cycle is complete.
Okay, so from which quarter can we expect the full utilization?
Q2 will surely be better utilization.
Sure, sir. And you talked about the increase in RM price. What we understand, sulfur prices had gone up by almost 3x, while maybe sulfuric acid price would have gone up maybe 2.5 to 2.5. The delta which we used to get, say, so last 1-2 years there was abnormal delta. But if we look at historically, the delta which we used to make in sulfuric acid, is it now at the same level? Is it, say, 20-30% lower level? If you can talk about the same.
I don't really like to discuss sulfuric acid prices and all that. I think that's being too specific. But in general, you know, it's a pure commodity. And even if I have a certain margin now and I had a certain margin in the past, it doesn't mean anything for the future. You know, so every year is different, every situation is different, every month is different. It also depends on, you know, competitors and things like that. It's very difficult to answer that question and give any kind of a meaningful answer.
Sure, sir. On the new product side, so we have introduced like sulfones, amides, and thiols. If you can talk about the scaling of these products in FY22 and what are our maybe targets in FY23? Are we seeing very good demand in some products, or maybe if you can talk about this thing?
Yeah, so sulfones, you know, has been the best for us in terms of growth, and we expect that to continue.
Mr. Rohit, can you still hear us? I mean, sorry, Mr. Jayesha, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. I had a disconnection. Can I ask the question now?
This is Hello? The operator. Mr. Jayesha, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes, please go ahead with the question.
Okay, so my question was, sir, in the intermediate plants that we are setting up, what is the chemistry that we are majorly going to focus on? Because it's majorly going, if I may not wrong, then it's going into agro and pharma intermediates. So what is the chemistry that we are focusing on, sir?
It's sulfur chemistry, our normal business.
Okay, so as in, like, is it going to be more on the sulfonate side, or is it going to be a mix of boron and sulfonate, or only sulfonate?
It's only sulfur chemistry.
Only sulfur chemistry. Okay, and can you give a picture, sir, that how would the split be like majorly going to agro or pharma, or is it going to be distributed across industries?
It's neither of the above, but I'm not at liberty to disclose.
Okay, okay, no problem. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Sure.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rohit Balakrishnan from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, hi, Bimal. Bimal, just two questions. This financial year 23, we'll have all the capex coming online. By the end of this financial year, do you expect all the capex to be fully utilized, all the plants to be fully utilized in terms of maybe on a run rate basis also, if you can just maybe give some outlook on that?
So again, that's forward looking. We would certainly like to be fully utilized by end of the year. Again, that will depend on a lot of developments, including the logistics situation. Couple of the products are going for mainly to the overseas market. So again, let's see the logistics.
Okay. Press on this a bit further.
The market visibility we have, if that is your question.
Yeah, got it. Yeah, that was my question. Okay, that's helpful. Second question was on the sulfone side. How much would sulfone contribute right now broadly in terms of percentage, if you can just broadly share? And what would be the volume growth if you have that number over FY21?
I don't know it offhand, but as I mentioned, it's been a good story for us. It's done quite well, and we expect it's still growing.
So, are we also adding any capacity on that side, on the one that we already, on the product that we were anyway producing? Are we adding any capacity on that, on those set of products?
More in terms of debottlenecking than having large investments.
Got it. Okay. And just on the sulfuric acid side, I actually missed your answer. My phone got disconnected. Are we utilizing the capacity at this point of time fully? I'm asking for the sulfuric acid plant, the bulk chemical. Or that also we need to ramp up further in the coming quarters?
No, right now it's not at full capacity, but it will, as we commission the downstream products, we'll ramp up this as well.
Got it. And just to refresh my memory, how much of the output from this new plant will we actually be selling outside, or how much will be consuming internally?
Roughly 50-50. Almost the same like we have in Roha.
Got it. Understood. Thank you, Bimal, and all the very best. Thanks.
Thanks. Thanks, Roy.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Aman V from Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead.
The line got disconnected. Sir, I could not hear your answer on amides and thiol.
So, thiols are still growing. I'm not yet very happy with the way thiols has come. We are looking to expand that further. In terms of the amides, I mentioned that it's become like a mature product for us. We've achieved good volumes, and it will be more stable rather than growing.
So, sir, for this year, FY23, so one of the growth drivers is obviously the new plant which we'll be commissioning. Apart from that, where do we see the growth coming from in the specialty side?
So as I said, we are not going to make any major investments at this time until we fully digested our current investments. But looking forward, I believe that the sulfones, even the boron business will see an uptick, and of course the new plants are going to add to our top line.
Sure, sir. And sulfonsme, is it still one major product, right? Because the second product, there was issue in, I think, supply, demand and all those things.
Yeah, but we are looking at both products now.
So the demand-supply situation has improved for the second product?
Yes.
Sure, sir. On the boron side, I think we had achieved peak sales maybe 3-4 years back. So how much down is the current business of boron compared to what we had achieved in FY19?
So I would say at least, you know, I don't remember the numbers of FY19, but, you know, I would say 20 to 25% down for sure.
And sir, the decrease will be across both the boron commodity and boron specialty, or boron specialty was more protected?
Not really, because, you know, we need that backward integration to have a meaningful business.
So when you talk about the prospect improving, has the there was this law which was an issue which was hindering the import? Has there been a change in the law, or what has changed which gives you confidence?
It's not a law. It's just a restriction on the import of technical grade boric acid. That has not changed. But we are looking at alternative ways, you know, making our own sourcing. The main thing that has changed is the availability of the raw material, which was really hampered in the past year and a half.
So, if my memory serves right, we do have a plant there. So, we are talking about debottlenecking that to improve
yes.
the. Sure, sir. Final question on the R&D side. So, we have a team of 25 people. If you can talk about how much we are planning to scale in the next 1-2 years, as well as the number of new products that we are planning to launch. Say this year and next year.
Sure. So in terms of the overall strength, we don't have any major plans to add people at our main site at Roha, but we are setting up a smaller setup in Dahej, where we'll add a few people. And in terms of products, you know, it's an ongoing thing. If we are able to it's difficult to say which products that we are working on will finally get commissioned. We can't predict that. But I can say that we are working on several processes at this time.
And as of now, it is still sulfur chemistry we are focusing on, right? Downstream
yes.
products of the sulfur chemistry.
Absolutely.
Sure, sir. That is it from my side. Sorry, just one question. The other expenses, there was a major ramp up this quarter. Any one-offs in that, or do you think this will be the number going forward?
I think the main increase is in terms of logistics. And, you know, just to give an example, you know, the container cost for shipment to Europe, they were about $1,500. Now it's around $8,000, $10,000. So, you know, that itself is a major increase. I think bulk of the increase is related to that.
And has the situation improved a little bit, or do you still see this high other expenses in at least 1-2 quarters?
No, it's not improved, really.
Sure, that
across,
is it.
Across industries, you know, this is logistics supply chain challenges is across all industries across the world. And if you can go on, any of these logistics websites, you'll see that there is a whole bunch of ships outside of the Chinese ports and a whole bunch of ships outside of U.S. West Coast ports like Long Beach. And they are just, that bottleneck is causing problems for the rest of the world. So there are not enough ships and containers where they need to be.
Sure, sir. Thank you for the answer.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Nirit Gala from THG Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and congratulations on a wonderful set of numbers. My first question was, where do we see ourselves, you know, over the long term? So maybe 5 years later, are we still looking to be a 50-50 commodity and specialty chemicals player, or are we looking to ramp up specialty chemicals to a major majority of our revenues?
So, the investment that we have commissioned recently in Dahej has been for commodities. So, therefore, the number looks a little skewed right now. But if you look at what we had prior to this, you know, it was around one-third commodities and two-thirds specialties. Once our investment cycle is complete at Dahej, we'll go back to that one-third, two-third number. Right now it's skewed because the commodities have increased, but the specialty has not. You know, the plants haven't come on stream yet.
Right. So over maybe a period of 5 to 10 years, we are looking to maintain that one-third, two-third ratio, or are we looking to maybe go higher on the specialty side?
So our normal business was one-third, two-third.
Right.
We come back to that first, but over 5 to 10 years, difficult to predict.
Okay, so and my second question was, if you can give me any guidance on the export volumes growth that we are forecasting maybe for the next couple of years, if any.
So that's too forward-looking, but I can tell you that the investments we are making right now for one of the plants at Dahej is primarily for the export market. The thing is that, situation is dynamic. What's happening is there's a lot of make in India also happening. So sometimes when we are selling to a customer in India, he's making a product which goes overseas.
Right.
Or we are supplying directly overseas. So for us, it doesn't really matter. You know, while we, in the past, it used to be a big thing because there were so many export incentives and all that. Currently, there is zero export incentive. So, doesn't really matter what is the end destination. We look at them all as customers, whether local, domestic, doesn't matter to us.
Wonderful, sir. Thank you. And just my final question was on the lines of the revenue mix, if you can give me a brief export versus domestic revenue mix for this year.
So I think we've given that. It's around one-fourth exports.
Okay, so wonderful. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Praful from BPS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, sir. There's two questions on my side. One is the sales increase in Q4 versus Q3 of FY22. How much of this increase is on account of volume versus pricing?
So, as I mentioned, you know, the volume increase, there was some volume increase in the commodity business because we had the commissioning of the sulfuric acid plant at Dahej. And, of course, the price increases. But there would also be an increase in the specialty chemical business. I don't know the exact number, but it would be around 10% or so.
Okay, thank you. And the next question, sir, is in the presentation, I think it's also mentioned about that we also make some products for the ethanol chemistry. So just wanted to know, what are the nature of the products and ethanol as a story in India that is picking up, and there are a lot of investments happening in the ethanol capacity. So I was curious to know a bit more about the ethanol chemistry and what we are doing here.
So we don't make ethanol, we use ethanol. And a few of our products have ethanol as a raw material. The whole story about ethanol in India is more linked to its use as a fuel. You know,
So it's being blended with petrol, and also people are making investments in ethanol largely due to that market. What's happening is, though, India is still an importer of ethanol. So chemical industry is not getting enough ethanol at the right price. So from the domestic sources. So sometimes we have to import ethanol as well. But it's not, I mean, we are not into the making of ethanol. So all that doesn't really affect us.
And I'm assuming that even if the raw material ethanol, like if the capacity increases and the price kind of decreases, like is it a material impact for us, or is it like not?
No, there's no real benefit because all the increase in volume is going towards blending and fuel.
Okay. Got it. Okay, sir. I think rest of the question was answered. So thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Vignesh Iyer, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Yeah, I just wanted to know our capacity utilization at Roha plant as well as the Dahej plant, and also wanted to know what is the, like, Roha plant is like 300 MT per day. So I wanted to know what is the capacity of the Dahej plant pre-capex and post-capex.
Right, so our capacity utilization, is for our sulfuric acid plant in general, is over 90%. At Dahej, it is currently lower because we are still ramping up some of the downstream products. But at Roha, it is 90% plus. Dahej, it is lower. In terms of other products, it varies product to product, but, you know, wherever we are making the investments, obviously it's because our capacity is insufficient to meet the demand.
Okay, but can you give me the size of, as in the capacity size of specialty chemical, as in how much maximum, if you see peak production we can achieve?
I can tell you for sulfuric acid, because that is, the plant at Dahej will be in similar in capacity to the plant at Roha, slightly bigger but almost identical. And the specialty chemical plants are not one plant, they're multiple plants. So difficult to list out each and every capacity and utilization.
Okay, so you mean to say the capacity would be as much as in Roha it is, that is post-capex, right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. That's all from my side. All the best.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rohit Balakrishnan from iThought PMS. Please go ahead. Mr. Balakrishna, can you hear us? There's no response from this user. We'll move on to the next question from the line of Neha Adani from Minerva Investment. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. With the CapEx coming fully on stream in FY23, if you can, assuming that prices remain where they are currently, can you give us an understanding of what kind of revenues that you can get to in FY23? Given that your marketing plan plays out, you know, as you anticipated it.
So, again, this year we'll not be fully utilizing capacity for the entire year. You know, so we expect some of the plants will start up in this quarter. By next quarter, we'll start having meaningful sales and ramp up. But certainly this year will not be a full operational year with the expanded capacity. But all I can say is that if you looked at what our operations were before we started this expansion, and we should double that. And that is at those prices. So if there's an increase in the prices of raw materials, or decrease, that would correspondingly change.
Okay, understood. And so the second question, you know, on the specialty chemical basket, in the past you said that you would like to make, you know, EBIT margins of 30% on the products that you enter, given that they are niche molecules. So just wanted to understand, by when can we see that kind of margins on the product basket for the specialty chemicals?
So whatever new products we are doing, we are achieving that margin. Now the percentage margin is slightly misleading, as I said, because it also depends on the raw material pricing. You know, so a lot of our contracts are linked to raw material costs. If they go up, we can pass on the cost, but we can't add a margin onto that cost. So under normal circumstances, and right now is not a normal circumstance, we would be making that kind of margin on all the new products. You know, when we plan up an investment, that's what we look at.
I understand. Got it. Okay, so then third question is on the CapEx side. You know, we have about 110 crores planned CapEx that has gone up by, you know, assuming 25-30%, like you said, due to inflation, that brings you to 150 crores. And, you know, as somebody previously asked, it looks like the number is somewhere in the range of around 220 odd crores of CapEx that you've done. So the incremental CapEx of 60-70 crores, how much would that be revenue generating?
So some of it is, you know, I don't think the numbers which you mentioned are exactly accurate, but apart from the cost overrun, what we've also done is, you know, some debottlenecking, some statutory requirements, some investments in safety, environment, R&D, things like that. So, you know, all of it is necessary for the business, but I can't say, for example, the fire hydrant system or the effluent treatment plant system would have a direct payback, but it will surely allow us to expand in the future. For example, in Roha, we've installed a zero liquid discharge system that surely will allow us to expand in future. So while it may not be directly revenue generating or directly, I can't link it to output, but surely it's essential for the growth of the business.
Understood. So my last question, if you can give us an idea of by when can you, you know, can we expect the company to reach 1,000 crore top line?
I don't give such forward-looking statements, but you know, our objective is to certainly grow the company. We've made an investment of this scale after for the first time in the history of the company. So let us, you know, digest this and then we'll look beyond that.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We have the next question from the line of Aman V from Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity again. Sir, is there any shutdown planned for this year?
We will have a shutdown at Roha.
And in Q3 or Q2, sir?
No, it will be post-monsoon.
So either Q3 or Q4, right?
Yeah, Q3 probably.
Sure. And this year, given we'll have the hedge, so the impact should be much lower compared to historically.
That's what we hope.
Sure, sir. And if you can talk about, so you have like talked about due to the inflationary environment, we should not assume 30% kind of margins for the new product. So if we assume today's pricing, this 30% margin goes to 20% or even lower?
Aman, difficult to say all this because it will change. You know, tomorrow if the prices go down, again, the margin will look fantastic. But we are at a situation of unprecedented raw material prices. You know, in the history of the chemical industry, we have not seen such prices before. So, you know, where it goes from here, and you know, just keep in mind that for a specialty chemicals business, we have a pass-through mechanism, and we have a sort of almost an assured return. So let's keep it at that rather than looking at the percentage numbers. We can't predict sure. anything on raw materials.
Sure, sir. Final question is on the, so our top three products in the specialty basket, what was their contribution, sir?
Still a significant number, but I wouldn't know an exact number.
Will it be like two-thirds and higher?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And on these old products, these are the niche products which we are market leaders, so what kind of growth are you seeing for, say, this year and next year?
So even for these products, we are seeing some growth. It's not that they have plateaued or anything like that. So we are able to either, there is some new applications coming, or we are replacing some of our competitors. There is something happening.
So, sir, so it's difficult to predict the pricing, but in terms of general volume growth for the specialty, do we target like 15-20%? Do you think these numbers are achievable? Volume growth. So pricing, nobody knows, but at least the volume.
No, it's difficult to project like that because it, for mature products, it would not be so much. Of course, for our investment at Dahej, we will see a big jump once the plant is commissioned. But again, that will be a one-time thing. And then, again, it may be more stable.
And peak sales from that 20 crore capex is like 35-40 crores, or is it lower, is it higher?
Again, you know, depends on prices, but could be in that range.
Sure, sir. Thank you for answering all the questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Bimal Gokuldas for closing comments.
Thanks. Thank you all for attending. I hope I was able to answer most of your questions. I know I don't, you all know that I don't give forward-looking numbers, and I think we'll keep it that way. I'll let the quarter go by and then you're free to ask. We have made significant investments. It has been a difficult time to make the investments because of lockdown, etc. But I think we are coming out of that that phase, and we are looking forward to the future growth. Thank you all for your support.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.